Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families, and we need it. I was just talking to my team right before we came on the air, and you know, I always say it's Friday, and my kids say yay that it's Friday. But today, I'll be honest with you, I'm feeling like I need a little attitude adjustment. It has been a tough week, hasn't it? I just kind of feel the stress building. I feel like my kids are about to go back to school. I've got all of the things on the list to go to see the eye doctor and the orthodontist and the dentist and make sure everybody has everything that they need. And in light of a really challenging news week, it's been raining all day, every day here in Houston this week. I just feel like I need an attitude adjustment, and what better way to do that than to seek hope in God's Word? If you've been listening since the beginning of the year in January, you know we are trying to adopt healthy habits together to make our families healthier and stronger. And one of those first habits that we adopted was scripture memory. And the scripture that I have been working on memorizing this week comes out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, for me, whether that's Hurricane Beryl or the rain that seems to be continuing to come down, or just the torrent that seems like it's coming through culture, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And thank goodness that we have a Savior. Well, we've got a great show for you today. It is Friday. We are doing Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where I am answering questions that I have gotten. I continue to get questions about how do we handle the chaos that is unfolding with all of this election drama. I will be talking about that later in the show. This week's healthy habit is water safety, so I'll be giving you some tips on swimming lessons and bacteria that you can get from water, all kinds of things to keep your family safe in the water as you're enjoying these last days of summer. And I'm going to answer some questions on friendship. This continues to come up. We are created in the image of God and created to live in community with each other. And social media and smartphones have changed that for families. And so I will be talking to you about how to nurture healthy families. But before we get to that, we are so delighted to have the one, the only Chelsea Wildman on here. You've heard her here before. You've heard her husband before, Wesley, who helped co-host Share-a-thon for me and has been a frequent guest working for AFA. And Chelsea works with the AFA Foundation. And we, yesterday, if you listened in, we had a Christmas show and we talked about how it is better to give than to receive. And we're going to continue that Christmas spirit in July and learn how we can contribute to the important work that AFA is doing. Chelsea, welcome back. We're so glad to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we may have someone new listening, Chelsea, so tell them about the AFA Foundation and what important work you're doing.
Yes. So our AFA Foundation, it exists to help donors create a lifetime income. That income stream comes from a charitable gift annuity. That's what we specialize in. We also exist to help our donors leave a lasting legacy that can last for many generations to come through bequests, wills, charitable gift annuities. Really, there are outright gifts. There are many ways that you can give to the work of American Family Association and American Family Radio with our foundation. Riley Wildman and myself, and yes, we are related. She is my sister-in-law, and even better, my friend. So it's wonderful to get to work with family and get to also work with our AFA family. So many of our donors that call in, we really get to know, we get to kind of examine their situation for their finances in retirement years, and we get to help them put a charitable gift annuity in place that will last for a lifetime income as long as they are living. And just a short overview of that. So as I mentioned, you give a gift, any amount, $2,000 or above, so the minimum is $2,000, and it just goes up from there according to your situation, and you receive that lifetime income. You get a partial tax deduction the year that you put the gift in place, as well as partial tax-free income when you start to receive those payments. And then upon your passing, any remaining funds are then gifted to the work of AFA and AFR. And there are many different types of charitable gift annuities, a flexible deferred, immediate. So these are all examples that our foundation can run for you if you're kind of interested in seeing what that percentage and income could look like for you.
Well, thank you, Chelsea, for that. You know, that's one of the things I love about the American Family Association is that they really take family seriously. And there are lots of family duos, trios working at AFA together. And my own daughter is an intern there this summer. And I really appreciate the fact that they put, you know, their values and their resources where their heart is, where their mission has a heartbeat. And that is for families. And I remember, Chelsea, the last time that I was there at headquarters, we had a donor actually stop by and give a donation in person. And she was telling us how much AFA had changed her husband's life, and especially American Family Radio. He had been listening and a regular listener, and she said it had just given him such an encouragement, such a lifeline of encouragement at the time that he needed it. And she wanted to come by in person and say thank you. And that was really, really special. And you know, Chelsea, having seen AFA's beautiful building and the resources that you steward, I shared before last time I was there, I saw your own husband, Wesley, walking upstairs with a big cleaning kit. He had rubber gloves on and he had this cleaning spray and sponges and, you know, washcloths and everything. And I said, "What are you doing, Wesley?" And he said, "My papa showed us that we are going to steward this building and everybody is going to contribute." And that's the kind of attitude that you see. So, Chelsea, I'd love for you just to give our listeners just one more piece of encouragement. Any last words you'd like to say and remind them once again how they can connect with the foundation to give a gift?
Yes, absolutely. Well, if you're listening and if you have never given financially, you know, we do honor and cherish those gifts. We are thankful for each and every one, no matter what size. It does help to, you know, contribute to our work, to furthering Christ and His kingdom and getting the message of hope and His love out to everyone, and also to fight back against the culture that we are, you know, fighting against today. With Wesley and I have three young children, and we just look and pray every day for their little hearts and little minds. And we pray that, you know, the policy that's being put in place in with our politicians and, you know, the things that are coming down the pipeline, that we can positively change those for good. And we hope that American Family Association can stand for that. You know, we stand for truth and we stand for Jesus and what the Bible says is right and wrong. And we are thankful for that foundation that we can continue to spread the word, His word across these airwaves. And every single gift, large, small, in between, helps us get there. And yes, you probably caught him, Wesley, on a day that it was his cleaning turn. And yes, our staff, we take turns cleaning different mm-hmm. areas of the building. We do want to steward our resources well. We want to keep things nice, because so many people have given so that we can have that as a headquarters to continue to do the work that American Family Association has. So thank you for giving me a couple of minutes to just go over that. And we are, we're thankful. We encourage you, if you've never connected with us or if you are just listening to us for the first time, give us a call. We would love to go over our ministry, answer any questions that you have. You know, a lot of people that I speak with for the foundation, I always say, and, you know, outside of my realm, if you have any other questions, don't ever hesitate to give me a call. I can point you in the right direction. Maybe it's not my department, but I will get you to the person who you need to speak with. So we certainly encourage you to give us a call. And our phone number at the foundation is 1-800-326-4543. Extension 345. I'll say that once more, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345.
Thank you so much for that, Chelsea. And you know, as somebody who's relatively new here to AFR, we just started the Dr. Nurse Mama Show in October. I just cannot even tell you what a warm welcome we've gotten, both from the staff and from the listeners. And as somebody walking in with new eyes, I can tell you that you all put your money where your heart is. And your heart is for reaching families, for to equip families to navigate this culture, to point them to the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And really, what I see behind the scenes is people who are just as dedicated to that mission behind the scenes as they are out in front of the scenes. These are people who really believe what they are saying and are walking the walk and talking the talk. And that has been so encouraging to me. And Chelsea, it takes a lot of resources, especially for the technology to be able to broadcast American Family Radio across where we need to do. People may not know this, but there's actually somebody monitoring the stations 24/7 to make sure that our listeners have as few interruptions as possible and the highest quality audio connection so they can hear our message loud and clear. So thank you again for giving this opportunity to give, especially in the week where we were celebrating Christmas in July. My love of Christmas is legendary, Chelsea. I will take every opportunity I can to sneak Christmas in. And so this is a great way to give. And thank you again for everything that you're doing as a mom and as a director in the foundation and just, you know, supporting your family who is working to support families all over the world. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you so much, Dr. Peck. Y'all have a wonderful week.
Okay, you too, and hang in there in the summer. I know you're right there in the thick of it. We were talking about that. Have a great summer and a great rest of your summer, Chelsea. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you.
Well, speaking of giving, I want to remind you again, we've been promoting all week Bibles for Babies. This is an initiative from Hannah's Heart. You've heard Ann Cockrell. You've heard Kendra White on our show. They're the co-host of Hannah's Heart, a radio show produced by American Family Radio to help Christian couples who are struggling with infertility and miscarriage. And we've heard the story of Ann's precious little baby, John Micah. And even though his life was less than an hour here on earth after he was born, his legacy will live on forever, and they are having a Bibles for Babies initiative in honor of John Micah and in honor of all mamas who have lost a child. So you can give a Bible to a mom. They're partnering with a pregnancy center to give one new Bible for each precious new life on the way. And really, truly, what better gift than God's word for a new mama and baby to receive? So you can call to, if you want to donate Bibles for Babies, that's just $10 a Bible, 877-616-2396, or you can give online at afr.net/Bibles for Babies. That's afr.net/Bibles for Babies. I've already gone online and made my contribution and donated 7 Bibles, 1 in honor of each baby I have, 4 here on earth and 3 in heaven. And I was really happy to do that. Well, listen, we have got a lot to talk about coming up. I want to talk to you about water safety. This is really important. And, you know, as human beings, God created us body, mind, and spirit. And so we talk about all those things, and we'll spend a little time talking about keeping our bodies safe in the water, no matter what your family stage, whether you've got a new baby enjoying their first summer, you've got kids who are loving to swim, you've got teenagers who are venturing out, or your grandparents watching kids on the water, wherever you are, we'll talk about how to be safe. And then later on in the program, I'll talk about friendships and give you a word of encouragement for a week that I need, and I think you need too, for sure. So we'll be right back, and I'm going to share with you some summer throwbacks. We're going to have a little bit of nostalgia here, and I'll talk about your childhood summers and how you can make your child summer the best and the healthiest. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
Dr. Ligon Duncan from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
The Bible is inspired because its nature is the self-revelation of God. In other words, the authority of the Bible is the authority of God. Behind your doctrine of Scripture is a doctrine of God. The product of Scripture is the activity of God. The Scripture is the product of God, the Holy Spirit, which is why God the Holy Spirit uses it in conversion and in sanctification. So what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source. And because we believe God to be the author of the Bible, we talk about the quality of the Bible as inspired or God-breathed.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Welcome back, friends. I have to be honest, that song perfectly timed for me today, and I hope perfectly timed for you. That is You Make Everything Beautiful by For King and Country and Rebecca St. James. Goodness gracious, do we need that message today? Grant us serenity to accept things that we cannot change, and grant us courage to change what we can, wisdom to know the difference. And we do have to trust that God will make everything, everything. Yes, I know you're thinking like I am, but what about this, Lord? But what about that? But what about this? Even this, Lord? Yes, even this, he says, he will make everything beautiful in its time. And that is really hard for us. But let me remind you again of the scripture I'm meditating on this week. From Isaiah 43, 2 and 3, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Well, it is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. I'm answering a lot of your questions about summer, about friendship. And first, let's take a little walk, a little trip down a nostalgia lane, because summer is absolutely my second favorite thing to Christmas. You know, Christmas is my absolute favorite, but summer as a season is my favorite. I love it. I love the time with my kids. I love the slower pace, kind of, sort of, you know, the different kinds of pressures. I just love the summer. And I think back as my summers, I'm a Gen Xer, and they went something like this. Like, we would have cereal for breakfast and fight with my siblings over the toy, fight to read the box because we did not have smartphones and maybe cartoons weren't on yet. We would swim all day every day, definitely no sunscreen, and definitely yes to the high dive. I watched reruns of The Brady Bunch, The Monkees, Eight is Enough. I drank straight from the hose, burning hot water that tastes like copper, by the way. I played with Barbie dolls for days and days and days. We had sleepovers with friends that would last a week. We would make mixtapes on our boombox, ride my bike everywhere, and be home when the streetlights came on. You know, my siblings and I, we actually started a club with the neighborhood kids with our clubhouse. We took an abandoned camper top, you know, something that would sit on the back of a truck, and we put it on the ground. I don't know how, we couldn't even sit up in it, but we would in there just make elaborate economic schemes of how to make money selling quote unquote flowers. They were really weeds wrapped in toilet paper to our elderly neighbors, but they gave us money for them. And there are a lot of things too that you probably had. Let me go through some of the other generations, the greatest generations. You probably remember gathering around the radio, running through the fire hydrant, watching newsreels and westerns, saving tinfoil, Whip and Top, Double Dutch, comic books, Amos and Andy, Scrabble and Monopoly, picnics, hand-churned ice cream, and Abbott and Costello. Did I ring any bells for any of you? What about baby boomers? We're talking Kodak cameras, drive-in movies, listening to the Beatles, Howdy Doody, rotary phones, baseball cards on your bike spokes to make a cool noise, shopping at the Five and Dime, transistor radios, Captain Kangaroo, The Brady Bunch, riding in the back of a pickup truck, getting the Sears catalog, and roller skating. Now for Gen X, I've talked about that a little, but we had boom boxes, ice cream trucks, we drank from the hose, we watched soap operas with our grandparents in the summer. We were dropped off at the mall. We wore jams and jellies. And no, those weren't things that you eat. We used Sun In for our hair and baby oil for our bodies. We drank out of Kool-Aid pitchers. We played in the sprinkler. And some of the later Gen X, we got Super Mario Brothers, lightning bugs in mason jars, and Snoopy snow cone machines, and Saturday morning cartoons. Then we've got millennials. They had Pokemon Go, Super Soakers, Slip and Slides, Push-Up Popsicles, Razor scooters, rollerblading, arcade games, Nickelodeon, Blockbuster, Lisa Frank, that is the colorful school supplies, Furbies, and Light Bright. And you know, so what are your very best childhood memories? I firmly believe that generational connections are really important in families. And so what of your best childhood memory in the summer could you share with your children or your grandchildren? I want to challenge you to think of one of these, maybe one of these nostalgic activities that I have talked about from your childhood summer, or maybe one that you thought of as I was talking. Recreate it for your kids and grandkids. Kids today love things that are quote unquote vintage or nostalgic or throwback. So as these days of summer are starting to wind down, think of something that you can share with them and share with them stories of your childhood, stories of your childhood summers. That is a great thing. Now, one thing that we have learned to do better from the childhood summers that we had is that we're a little bit safer. I know sometimes we look back and think of things that we did. Yeah, and really, maybe they weren't the best things. I mean, maybe not having seatbelts is not the best thing, right? But we have learned a lot about safety. And one of the sobering facts that I have to share with you is that childhood injury, depending on what age group you look at, but it is either the first or second leading cause of death for many children across many age groups. And we can do a lot to make sure that everyone is safe and it's healthy, because we don't have to, water is something that we need to live, but water safety starts at home. So for little kids, let's just start at the beginning of the lifespan. Let me give you some safety tips on just the bathtub, because that's probably where most babies, most kids are going to encounter water in the home. Most childhood drownings inside the home occur in bathtubs, and more than half of those involve children under 1 year of age. So this is something that is very heartbreaking and very close to a lot of families. So it's really important for us to never leave a kiddo alone in the bathtub or in the care of another child, even for a moment. Even the infant bath seats, they can tip over, and children can drown in just a few inches of water. So make sure that you're giving them touch supervision all the time, that you are within arm's reach to touch them and pull them out of the water if you need to. One of the most dangerous things that we have as far as water safety that impedes water safety is a smartphone. And as a parent, when you have a smartphone and you're supervising your children near water, whether that's in the tub, in the pool, around a lake, any sort of water safety, a smartphone makes you mobile. So you can answer it, and then maybe somebody asks you a question. Hey, did you check this on the car? Or hey, can you look at this paper for me? Or, you know, oh, this phone call just reminded me, this text message just reminded me, I need to get my grocery list. So really one of the best things that we can do as parents when we're supervising is to leave our cell phone inaccessible during that time, whether that's bath time, water time outside, pool time, leave your phone away. That's really important because it does distract you and it doesn't make you mobile. Water temperature is really important for bath time. You should have your faucet set at no more than 120 degrees Fahrenheit to avoid having a scalding burn. So that's really, really important. Other things that you can do if you have little ones, whether kids or grandkids, make sure that you're in a habit of putting the toilet seat down all the time. Yes, all of the guys out there, I'm picking on you, right? Talking to you. Make sure to put the toilet seat down. Pull the plug on the tub. Don't leave any water standing in there. Keep the bathroom door closed. All of these things by time, because kids are still curious and we can't absolutely supervise them 24/7, never averting our eyeballs. So all of these things are helpful. Make sure, think about around your house. Do you have any standing water in a wading pool maybe, or a cooler with melted ice? Or if you have a large water bowl, even for pets, or a trash can or a recycling bin or a plant container that's collecting rainwater, look around your house and just make sure that you don't have any standing water. If you have a swimming pool, it is recommended that you have a fence on all four sides that are at least 4 feet high, and the slats in between them, if they're slats, should be no more than 4 inches wide. That's really important. It's also best practice to have a self-closing and self-latching gate that opens away from the pool with that latch at least 54 inches from the ground. That is so that the little feet on tippy toes can't reach that. So that can be really important. Other things to look at, especially if you're having a family with kids come to your house, look and see, do you have wells or irrigation or drainage ditches? Do you have bird baths or fountains or ponds or anything that we need to make sure that we're providing supervision for kids who are in an unfamiliar environment, who may wander off and, you know, think you're playing in a backyard that's safe, but you don't realize there's a pond back there. So that's really important. Those things are important to know. It's really important for every caregiver to know CPR. You can get classes through the American Red Cross, the American Heart Association. So I really want to take this time to encourage all parents and grandparents to make sure that you are CPR certified. It's not hard to do. It's not very expensive. So that can be something that you could think about to go and look for. Now, a lot of parents ask me, what about swim lessons? When should my child learn to swim? Well, it's important to note that children develop at different rates, and not every kid is ready to begin swim lessons at exactly the same age. So you have to think about your child's temperament, their physical and developmental abilities and limitations, and their comfort level in the water. If they are just terrified of the water, if they are not having it, then forcing the issue can sometimes make things more difficult. Now, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends swim lessons as a layer of protection. Doesn't make you drowning impossible, but it is a layer of protection that can begin for a lot of children starting at age one. Now, there are some infant swim classes that can be done, infant swim rescue. And actually, the American Academy of Pediatrics does not formally recommend those because there hasn't been a lot of studies on those. There haven't been a lot of evidence on those. But I can tell you For me personally, in my practice, I have seen kids that I really believe that this has saved their life. I really do believe that. So these are survival skills, not really swim lessons, but swim rescue. It teaches even little babies, if they fall in the pool, to flip over and to float on their back. They do this even without any, with just their swim clothes on, and then they progress to even they're doing it in a winter coat and learning those survival skills. So I recommend that you talk with your pediatric primary care provider, see what option is best for your family, but this is something that really kids need to have. Now, once kids are four and up, really most kids are going to be ready for swim lessons. And at this age, they usually can learn some basic water survival skills. They can learn how to float, how to tread water, or how to get to an exit point. And by age five or six, most kids can swim pretty proficiently, but it doesn't mean that they don't need supervision still. They definitely need supervision. And you want to think about even the color of swimsuit that you choose for your child, because a lot of times we think when kids get in trouble in the water, I'll see it, I'll hear it. But that's the problem, because if they're in trouble, they're under the water, so you often don't hear it. And if they're wearing a swimsuit color that is difficult to see in the water, it can be difficult to see them. So the brightest bright colors are best, especially for those little kids. We're talking red, hot pink, you know, neon colors, the colors that are going to really contrast with the water. And you can look online and see a lot of graphics of what that looks like when kids are in the water. So those are really important. Now, if you're thinking about getting swim lessons for your kiddos, make sure that you have an experienced, qualified instructor. Those lifeguards on duty, they should be CPR and first aid certified, which is really important. But teach good safety habits when you're in, on, or near the water. Kids should never swim alone, even when they can swim, because you never know when they might jump in the wrong way and they might hit their head. Or sometimes kids can have seizures or other things that are really unlikely, but that can happen. So teach them what to do if they end up in the water unexpectedly. And always make sure that they're never swimming alone, that someone is out there with them. That can be really important. Now, let me tell you a little bit about teenagers. Teenagers have some different risks, and teens are more likely to overestimate their skills and underestimate dangerous situations. The two things that I see most teens at risk for is diving into shallow water and having a neck injury, sometimes catastrophic, or drinking and being around the water. And you can go to any news station and see about so many of those. And we want to think, oh, not my kid. My kid would not do that. But we know that about 2/3 of students have tried alcohol by the 12th grade. And alcohol is a leading risk factor in drownings, and especially drinking alcohol while swimming or driving a boat. A lot of teenagers may have access to a boat, and that can be really, really dangerous. Teen drowning risk increases in lakes and rivers and other natural waters. So make sure that you are talking to your teen about knowing the water depth the first time they go in, that they have an exit plan anytime they're exposed to alcohol, especially around water sports or water situations. That is really important. And make sure, you know, we all are concerned about amoebas that can happen, and we see those tragic situations. So being careful when you're swimming in freshwater bodies and holding your nose and not putting your head under the water, those are all great things to talk about teens. I'll give you some links. We'll post these on our Facebook page so you can see more information about this. And we'll talk about friendship when we come back. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry.
Welcome back, friends. We were excited to announce yesterday that one of our prior guests, Yancey, she goes by Yancey. She is a children's worship leader, and she was nominated for a Dove Award for her version of that song. So that is really exciting. Well, welcome back. It is Friday, and we are having Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where I'm answering your questions. We've been talking about healthy habits and some of the questions that I get about water safety. I really want to say one more time that I would encourage you, as a habit for a healthy family, is to make sure that someone in your family, the adults in your family, do have some CPR and first aid training. You never know when that might save a life, and that is a great way to protect your family. So I encourage you to consider that and to look into it. I feel like I got cut off just a little bit. Let me just go, because I got talking too long, but let me just say one thing about the brain, what you might have heard about as the brain-eating amoebas. And those are, there are some types of amoebas that thrive in warm freshwater lakes, rivers, and hot springs. And these are just nightmare stories where we hear of healthy kids who all of a sudden get a headache, and it's almost always fatal. 97% are fatal, which is really, really tough. And I have talked to families and seen families who have been directly impacted by this. So let me just go back over that risk one more time before we move on to friends. The way to protect yourself against this is to hold your nose or wear a nose clip, which I know kids are not going to do, but hold your nose at least if you're jumping or diving into fresh water. Always keep your head above water if you're in hot springs, especially because those amoebas like hot environments. Don't dig in the shallow water because amoebas are more likely to live there. And if you're rinsing your sinuses or cleaning your nose passages, sometimes we see patients who, there have been some rare cases with patients who have used contaminated water. So it's best to use distilled or boiled tap water if you're doing that. So just want to make sure I tied that up for you. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about friendship, because this is something that we are navigating as families in the summertime. Our friendships can look a little bit different. We may be traveling to go see friends that we haven't seen in a while, or having a little more time, frankly, for friends that we maybe don't have time for during the school year when sports seasons are in full swing. And as our kids go back to school, this is a common question that I get, and a common fear that kids have is, how do I make friends? Will I have a friend? How do I find a friend? Because listen, we are made to live in community with each other. And smartphones, while we would think that they would create more community, in some ways they do, they really cut kids off from community that is happening in and where they live, where they go to school, where they go to church. We need to nurture in-person friendships with real live human beings, whether we are doing that for ourselves as adults or we're doing that for kids, because we are made to live in this kind of community, living in all virtual relationships. I think any military couple who has been separated for any extended period of time or any other friendship that has been distant will tell you it's survivable, but it is not ideal. We need to be in physical contact with people. And I think, you know, friendship is one of the greatest sources of joy and one of the greatest sources of angst for children. And every parent has watched their child with tears in their eyes be hurt by a quote-unquote friendship at some point. Sometimes it's really not a friendship. But here's the thing. We need to be intentional about cultivating good friendships for our kids, not just issuing demands or restrictions to keep out the negative ones. Did you get that? We need to be intentional about creating positive environments where good friendships can grow, not just saying, oh, nope, being the traffic cop or the street light saying yellow, green, or red. We need to make sure that our kids are having environments where they're inviting back those kids we see as good influences on them. So here are five questions to ask your child if they're struggling with a friendship. So if they feel like this friendship, there's a lot of conflict, I'm spending a lot of time talking through it with them as a parent or other concerned adult, ask the kids, do you enjoy being around this person? Does their company make you feel happy? Because if you see as a parent or a concerned adult signs that a friendship is unhealthy and you just say, well, that's not a healthy friendship, you shouldn't spend time around them, or you should, you know, not invite them over anymore, you shouldn't talk to them anymore, it's not really teaching them how to navigate the conflict and feel like, is this overcomable, or is this something where we should have healthy boundaries? So instead of just saying, that's not a good person for you, just cut it off, help them come to that conclusion themselves. This helps train their brain to be able to reason through situations. So do you enjoy being around them? Does their company make you feel happy? And parents, adults, we can ask ourselves these things about our friendships too, because if we're not modeling healthy friendships to our kids, that is going to not be helpful to them as well. And that's hard. Here's another question. Do they accept you for who you are? Do you feel comfortable being yourself, or do they try to change you, or do you feel pressure to be like them? Now, what I mean by this is maybe your kid is really goofy and silly, but this friend is constantly saying, hey, stop being so silly. That's dumb. Or maybe your child is just naturally reserved and they're telling them, stop being such a stick in the mud. You need to be more outgoing. Do they accept them for their temperament that God has given them? Third, think about, is there genuine mutual concern? Do they care about you, check up on you, check in with you? Do they ask you about you? Or do they only talk about themselves? We all know this kind of friend. We get off the phone for an hour and they've told you every problem they've ever had and demanded that you reassure them, assuage their concerns, and then they never say anything about you. You remember their birthday. They don't remember yours. Now, of course, all of these things, there can be isolated incidents, but if there is a pattern that there's not genuine mutual concern, this is something we need to either honestly acknowledge ourselves or point out to our kids. Fourth question, are you more concerned about them as a person, or are you more concerned about the status of your friendship? Now, what do I mean by that? Do you worry more about the loss of that person in your life, or the loss of the status and the access that comes with that friendship? Last question, do they bring out the best in you? Do you like yourself when you're around them? Do they build you up or tear you down in the name of joking? These are all questions that can help us honestly evaluate our friendships and help our kids intentionally evaluate the character traits of people they're considering to be friends. So when they tell you, can I ask so-and-so over? A lot of times we think, okay, well, tell me about their parents. Where do they live? What's their home situation? You know, and all of those things we want to know. But we also want to know, do they treat others with kindness? Are they concerned about your welfare? Do they exhibit Christian character traits? Do they make fun of people? You know, those things we want to know. These are questions that can help us to walk through this, because many times our protective instincts as parents, we just want to lay down the law, cut off access to friends that we see as unhealthy. We restrict, we forbid, and that may have worked in the good old days we talked about a little bit before. But I want to tell you the honest truth. In today's age of constant electronic access, it is nearly impossible to do this. It prompts cries of, you just don't understand. and our equally passionate replies of, if you live in my house, you will, I know you can finish that sentence, obey my rules, right? We have competition for community and friendships online. And even if you think, oh, well, my kid doesn't have a phone, 97% of kids have access to a phone. So that may be through a friend who lets them have it when they're at church, believe it or not, when they're at school, when they're at a friend's house, there's going to be different rules. So we really need to foster conversation. Empower your kids to voice their opinion in a safe space for consideration and help walk them through how are they making decisions on the friendships they're cultivating? How are they reasoning through evaluating their character and behavior? Because their frontal cortex in their brain doesn't yet have the full executive function to do so. So in some cases, it may be necessary to take a hard line, but keeping a pulse on your child's friendships and initiating conversations early is the way to go. Now, as we're looking at friendships, all of us need friendships to get through hard times. I know I have talked with many friends this week, and one of them sitting across the desk from me, my producer this week, as we have processed together what is going on in the world. And I need that friendship to say, no, I believe the same as you. You are not losing your mind. Those things are important. And as I was thinking about this and actually speaking with a group of parents at a camp yesterday, I just felt the weight of their concern, the weight of their worry. And as I was thinking about that and feeling that, I was reminded of a devotional that I had written for a book before, but a Bible story. And I want to take you back to this Bible story as we close our time together, because our deepest desire is for, as parents, is for our kids to grow up to love God and to serve others. Our desire as human beings is to have healthy families who love God and serve others. And there was a man in the Bible whose desire was for his daughter to be healthy. This was a man named Jairus who had a desperate encounter with Jesus. His 12-year-old daughter was seriously ill. This is coming to you from Mark chapter 5. And Jairus came to Jesus and he begged him to heal her, a respected community leader on his knees. Now, I can't imagine what Jairus felt when he was going to find Jesus, thinking, okay, will I be able to find him? If I find him, will I be able to get access to him? If I ask him, will he come? I can't imagine the emotional roller coaster when Jesus said, yes, I'll come with you. Now, one thing we forget a lot about this story is that Jesus said, yes, I'll come with you. But as they went on their way to go find Jairus' daughter, their journey was derailed, and people came looking for Jairus to give him the terrible news that his daughter had died. And his journey was derailed by a woman who had had a bleeding disorder for many years. Many of you know that story, but did you remember that it happened in the context of Jesus being on his way to heal Jairus' daughter? And can you imagine, we know the story of the woman, but can you imagine Jairus standing to the side thinking, come on, hurry up, let's go. No, this isn't fair. You know, you said you would heal my daughter. Why are you stopping? We have to have time. And what despair he must have felt when his friends and family came and found him and said, well, he doesn't need to come with you anymore. It's too late. And they said, stop bothering Jesus. It's over. It's dead. And Jesus looked at Jairus in the face of this. And he said, don't be afraid. Just believe. Now they continued on and they arrived at Jairus' home where the mourners were outside, even professional mourners, which were hired during this time and culture, and they're wailing and crying at the top of their lungs. And Jesus said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. And the scripture says, they laughed at him. They laughed. They thought, there is no way this is possible. So in response, Jesus sends them all outside and allows only Jairus, the girl's mother, and his three closest disciples to come in. He goes in that intimate setting, in the privacy with just those witnesses, and he takes this little girl by the hand and says to her, Talitha koum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. Now, what can we learn from this story? Well, we can learn to have faith to ask. The Greek term for faith means trust or firm persuasion. Are we firmly persuaded he can do what we're asking him to do? We have to ask in faith. Jesus said, don't be afraid, just believe, in circumstances that were both terrifying and unbelievable. The second thing we can learn, dismiss others who aren't supportive. When the mourners ridiculed Jesus, he disregarded them and sent them away. Who is that gloomy voice in your struggle? Who is whispering doubt in your mind? Who is speaking negativity over what you're asking God to do? Who has given up and tells you, let go, give up, and move on, it's too late? Feel free to dismiss them, because we rob ourselves of faith and victory when we surround ourselves with mourners who are willing defeat and ridiculing our faith. And third, we can trust Jesus to provide healing in God's timing according to his plan. As Christians, we believe Jesus Christ was born of a virgin as the Son of God, performed miracles on earth, suffered crucifixion and death on the cross to pay for our sins, and miraculously rose from the dead 3 days later to conquer sin and the grave forever. We believe he ascended to heaven and is waiting at the right hand of God for all who believe. If we have faith enough to believe all of that, why can't we trust in God's timing and God's plan? Ooh, that was convicting for me. I hope it was encouraging for you. Well, listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And Lord, grant us peace in a world where we really, really need it. We'll see you right here next time, prescribing hope for healthy families. And Monday, we're talking all things cousin camp. You won't want to miss it.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.